Coming to you on some serious tape delay via a podcast near you. From that hockey hotbed of San Jose, California, it's Dudes on Hockey.
He is now accepting callers. He is calling me Dude.
And now, your hosts, Mike and Doug.
Hey there, and welcome to Dudes on Hockey. I'm Mike, that's Doug.
Dude, can we hurry this up?
Why? Is it a boring week for you?
No, I'm missing Glee.
Yeah.
I gotta get home.
I guess I don't have to do a getting to know you segment now. Go ahead and volunteer that information.
I'm sorry. I you want the truth?
You can't handle the truth.
I can handle the truth. Can you handle the truth?
I hope
I gotta
so.
Get home. Okay. You wanna know why?
Because you gotta watch Glee.
No.
Oh.
Because I need to bow down and pray to the shrine of Ian White that I have put up in the office, dude.
Nice, dude.
We asked for it. We got it.
We got it. Ian White to the Sharks. The day after we podcast last week, so unfortunately it's been a little bit of lag time, but now we've luckily had the ability to see Ian White play in three games since then. So two games, excuse me.
How dare you?
I'm way ahead of myself.
How dare you be inaccurate on such an amateurish podcast?
I know, I have such a credibility to regain here. So Ian White for
a second rounder in the year 2012.
I know. And when you first heard this, you thought to yourself,
well, I couldn't form words because I was too busy cackling. I think I expected, in order to get this player, that we were going to have to give up Setoguchi. I think I expected that all along.
And we didn't.
And somehow he was able to get the guy, exactly the kind of guy that we wanted, without having to pay that hefty price. You look at what the Ducks gave up to get Francois Beauchemin.
Yeah.
Although he signed for another year.
Yeah, yeah.
But if I had to pick between having Beauchemin and Ian White, I would pick Ian White.
It's close. I mean, I'll play a little devil's advocate here and say maybe Beauchemin would be a better player. Let's put it that way. I don't know how much better, but it's not the difference between.
But when we're looking for what we're looking for, these are not the droids you're looking for.
Right.
All right.
Ian White definitely fits better.
He
than
fit
what
the
we
bill.
Thought.
He fit exactly what the Sharks were looking for. The right-handed shot. And how many times did we see him jump into the play tonight against the Red Wings?
And Saturday night against Colorado.
He loves activating from the point. He has serious wheels. He's got a little bit of a fight in him. He's very similar to Dan Boyle. I mean, I'm not going to go far enough to compare him to an all-star Olympian our hero.
Right.
Dan Boyle.
Yes.
But their games... very similar, dude.
Yes, they definitely like to create offensive chances, not afraid of some physical contact.
Yeah,
even
this
though...
is no Brian Campbell.
Right.
This guy's not a cupcake.
No, not at all.
He's got a little bit of mean in him. So essentially, dude, this is what it really boils down to, because it was a little bit strange.
Mm-hmm.
We were experiencing the trade chatter on Friday when David Pollock went on his blog Working the Corners and said Sharks are going to make a move or two today, it looks like.
Mm-hmm.
Move number one comes up. It's Derek Jocelyn to the Carolina Hurricanes for future considerations.
Right.
So when this happens, dude, we had a little bit of an emotional moment because we were very upset that Derek Jocelyn was gone.
Yes.
We enjoyed watching him warm up before the games and then sitting down.
Oh, man.
But I think... I had a moment where I went, gosh, it's not Ian White, because
that would have happened.
Why didn't it just happen anyways?
And they said a right-handed shooting defenseman. David Pollock said, looks like they're probably going to go and get the right-handed shooting defenseman. So I'm madly looking around for
who is this person?
Right-handed shooting defenseman. Yeah.
And lo and behold, it's Ian White.
That's
after
right.
all. So why there were two separate trades, I'm not sure we're totally ever going to get an explanation for that.
Very strange.
I don't know if you know the answer to this, dude, but is it possible that you can't include a draft pick in a deal that has future considerations to it?
I suppose it's possible. The rules governing trades and what you can trade for, some of it is covered by the salary cap, but I think there's probably other rules that are covered by the NHL bylaws, which are not available to the public. So
right.
I suppose it's possible. I still, nobody seems to have a good explanation. Although, to be perfectly honest, the only two people on earth who seem to really care about this are you and I.
But it is weird.
It is weird.
I mean, it is strange. Which, so you got to imagine the future considerations has to deal with if Jocelyn re-signs with the Carolina Hurricanes. Mm-hmm. If they don't like what they see and they decide to let Jocelyn walk, then the Sharks probably get significantly a lower pick. And, you know, we're probably talking the difference between like a
fifth and a sixth,
yeah, you know,
probably
next year, I'm assuming, because, you know, you look at the Sharks draft picks, because who has a Word document of what the Sharks draft picks are in the next few years on their computer?
You do.
Definitely not me.
Except for you.
The Sharks do not have a fourth or fifth round pick next year.
Okay.
The fourth round pick went to Anaheim in the Huskins Moen deal. Whee! And the fifth round pick went to Atlanta for Ben Eager. Mm-hmm. So you got to figure Doug Wilson's probably looking to get that back. So you got to, if we're guessing at what the return is on Jocelyn, that's it. Well, but let's focus on Ian White.
Yeah. And also, it set off another little mini controversy, because you were, to be more precise, interested in the cap implications of this, because it seemed like trading Ian White put the Sharks over the cap.
Well, it did.
And it obviously didn't, because the trade was allowed to proceed.
Well, I think that they are over the cap, but they have banked enough. I don't know how it works.
It's very strange. You ended up tweeting Cap Geek himself, who responded back, and only the Sharks fans that are really interested in the minutiae of the salary cap finally is even remotely interesting. But the fact is that the Sharks managed to get some sort of exception or some sort of bank of money, plus the addition of Antero Nidamaki on long-term injury reserve, managed to get the Sharks just under what they needed to do to fit in Ian White. Because that seemed to be one of the sticking points, is, okay, the Sharks want to take on a guy like White who has an almost $3 million cap hit. Well, they got to give up a roster player, and they didn't have to. But now we're going to see some real fancy footwork in terms of the salary cap.
It's already started. I mean, Nick Petrecki and Wingles were up, then they're down, and then Matt Irwin and Ferry are up, and they're down, and Demers is forced to drive the 80 miles to Stockton and have a steak and then turn around and stop at Jack in the Box and come back and play against Colorado, dude.
And whether he got the chicken fajita pita or the Jumbo Jack counts against the cap.
I don't know. Yeah. Well, I hope it's the pita, because that certainly counts less.
This is all good thinking. So, but it's great to have Ian White and Teal. So, the thing that I like the most about Ian White, and this is certainly something that we've been missing since Rob Blake's been here, is that he seems to get shots on net better than anybody else in the Sharks right now. And, you know, it comes in fits and starts. But Ian White does something that I always admire in a defenseman, that's shooting. And that's, he moves and shoots while he's moving. And it's very difficult to do that. A lot of times you see Vlasic make that lateral move across the blue line, but he'll sort of set himself and then rip the shot, or line it up and then shoot. But Ian White doesn't do that. He doesn't take that extra half beat to line up the shot. Sometimes he shoots with his head down, knowing where the net is, and sometimes he has his head up the whole time. As soon as he sees the lane open, he shoots into it, and he gets pucks on net better than any other Sharks defenseman right now. So that's the one thing I appreciate most about Ian White so far. Now, I know some of you may have listened to the podcast last week and said, Mike, you were really reluctant about Ian White. The thing is, I feel exactly the same about Ian White now as a player as I did last week, in that I'm glad that he's part of the Sharks. I think he's a good player. There's nothing I've seen so far to dissuade me from that, but I'm still a little nervous about why he was traded twice in a year. It just doesn't happen to great players, and so I wonder about that, and I still wonder. It's not a question that's going to get answered in the next 3 days, but it's just something that's going to be in the back of my mind here, especially when we start getting into the offseason and we start thinking about whether White will be retained by the Sharks or not. I just, you know, it makes me, it's just a little niggling feeling. What's up with that?
Well, I think I'll stick with the same answer I had last week. They might have had contract conversations in Carolina. And from what I read right after he was traded, you know, there was a journalist in Carolina who actually stuck up for him, said that he thought White was one of their best defensemen on a team that doesn't have a lot of good defensemen. And that, he was in Paul Maurice's doghouse for some reason. Hmm. He was playing third pairing minutes. He played 20 minutes tonight.
Yeah.
You know, Ian White in two games has 5 shots. I mean, that's, you know, probably puts him second on Sharks D behind Dan Boyle. The guy needs to be out there in situations where he can make something happen.
Yeah.
If you're going to put a leash on him, You know, if you imagine you're asking Dan Boyle to just play, Dan Boyle on like the Minnesota Wild of 3 years ago.
Yeah.
Like he'd be miserable.
Yeah.
He wouldn't want to stay. So if you're Ian White, you're having a beef with Paul Maurice, allegedly, you know, no proof of this. Like he might have just been upfront with Jim Rutherford and said, not staying, dude.
This isn't my style.
Yeah. I don't want to stay. Get some for me. Cut me loose. I'm not interested.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not down with the Cracker Barrel. Get me out of here.
Well, I hope for the Sharks' sake you're right. And what you just said about a third pairing defenseman sort of leads us into the next mini controversy, which is that one thing that we noticed, EJ Raddick said, I don't know if he said it in a chat or in a tweet or whatever, but I'm sure like many of you hockey fans, you follow EJ Raddick Twitter as we do. But he said something about how he thought the Sharks overpaid for Ian White.
Yeah, let me get the exact quote because we certainly don't want to
misquote our boy.
He's been so
nice to be on the podcast a couple times, but I think we're going to have to respectfully disagree with EJ if the quote is as I remember.
If I remember what he said, I mean, he made a comment more or less that, you know, will Ian White help the Sharks? Yes. Mm-hmm. You know, he thought that he would help, but essentially, you know, saying that he thought Ian White was a bottom pairing defenseman. Dude, I have got the article right here.
Okay.
Oh, no, I don't.
Dude.
Oh, dude.
Dude, way to drop the ball here.
Oh, I'm so sorry. Well, you know, I'm just trying to make you feel better because you were such an amateur earlier.
Yeah. So now we're lowering the bar.
I thought that I would
the bar's been successfully lowered. Yeah.
Myself down to your level, and everyone knows they love to hear rambling on a podcast.
There's nothing better than just filling space, saying whatever comes into your mind while you're
waiting. Well, let's talk about the games while I'm looking this up, dude. How right. You were stressed out tonight when we watched the Detroit Sharks game together, and you were flipping out tonight at the end of that game.
It's tension, man. It's tough. I mean, you see Datsyuk just sort of do whatever he wants to do. You know, there's only two guys who can do what Datsyuk does. I see Patrick Kane with the same kind of skill. Datsyuk can stick handle the puck basically as long as he wants to stick handle it, and only when he wants to give it up does he actually give it up. It seems like he can just do whatever he wants, and it freaks me out every time he has it, because I just feel like he's just going to juke somebody like he did volleying that one time and just come in on net and shoot. And you know what? Niemi has made
Niemi was
amazing,
really great,
amazing
tonight.
Saves.
Great tonight.
I know we talked earlier in the year, or maybe November, December, when the Sharks were doing so hot that we needed a goalie that can stone, make some massive saves, and steal a game. Niemi, to me, was that guy tonight. He made some unbelievable saves and just stole the game for the Sharks, in my opinion.
Well, while that's true, I mean, you look at how the Sharks have played in the last. I mean, what we've won six of the last eight against the Red Wings.
Yeah.
Pretty
nice.
That's pretty nice. And you can't discount that.
No.
Has Todd McClellan figured out how to beat the Red Wings?
I don't think anybody's figured out how to beat the Red Wings.
Well, it certainly seems like we've got their number right now.
We do, but you know, the pendulum could swing the other way, and I certainly wouldn't want to face him first round of the playoffs. No thanks.
Here's EJ's comments on Ian White.
Okay.
The Sharks definitely need to add a little more mobility to their defense. White strikes me as more of a third pair depth type guy. That said, I do think he'll give Todd McClellan more options for the stretch run. That's a good thing. On the flip side, I think the Hurricanes have to be pretty happy to get something in return for a player who didn't fit their future, particularly after acquiring him 3 months ago. Who won the deal? Hurricanes.
So, wow. Yeah, I don't agree with that at all. Obviously, we're biased towards the Sharks here, but
well, when we have EJ on, and after the Sharks have won the cup and Ian White is sipping out of it, we'll ask him if he still feels the same way.
Well, let me throw a couple stats at you, because last year Ian White was 28th amongst defensive scoring in the NHL. That doesn't seem like a third pairing guy to me.
Not too shabby.
Third pairing, if you do the math, 30 teams, third pairing, that means you got four guys, 30 teams ahead of you. That means he's roughly 120th in the league in defensemen. He's not anywhere close to that. The year before that, he was 64th in scoring on Toronto, but he played he played better minutes, tougher minutes than Thomas Caberle in Toronto that year. Mm-hmm. So he played better on even strength, and he played more even strength than Thomas Caberle, who is, you know, considered to be, you know, the power play master.
Right.
So I don't see anything in the last two or three years from Ian White that says he's a third pairing defenseman or should be used in that capacity. And certainly the Sharks are not using him in that capacity. Right.
Underrated player, a guy who flies under the radar unless you're an NHL geek like us and others. So hopefully Ian White is going to be a major missing piece. You look at the Sharks' blue line now, Boyle, Murray, Vlasic, Demers, who again, very good game tonight.
Good game.
Demers has stepped himself up into being a legitimate NHL defenseman with his improved physical play. Vallin, Ian White.
Yeah.
That's way better than you take out White and now you've got Ken Huskins in his place. There's no comparison.
No.
The Sharks D just went from average to pretty good.
Yeah.
You know?
That's right.
Just with that one addition. So Doug Wilson, how you keep pulling this off, brother, I don't know.
I don't know either.
We Sharks fans certainly appreciate it.
Well, there's some other trades, and I think more than one of them we might think was a major pillage of the other team. But let's talk real quickly about Colorado because that was the other game of the weekend. I think it was the first, what they say, it was the first game the Sharks won by more than two since November or something, or December. So they just been winning a lot of close games, and they took Colorado to school.
This is hardly the same team that we saw in the playoffs last year. It's not even close. They had just made a huge trade, you know, sending Shaddy and Stewie over to St. Louis.
For those of you who don't know what that means, that's Kevin Shattenkirk and Chris Stewart.
Chris Stewart.
Anthony Stewart's with another team. But so two great young players over to the St. Louis Blues for Eric Johnson and Jay McClement. And a pick, was it?
And a first-round pick, protected first-round pick.
So that was a shocker of a trade. And
happened
in the middle of the night.
While you were sleeping, Sandra Bullock.
Great, dude. Glad you're referencing Sandra Bullock movies. You really know our demographic, dude. Way to be on top of it. Wow, that's two stories.
You know
stories
what?
Okay,
I said while you were sleeping, and who recognized it as a Sandra Bullock movie?
You said Sandra Bullock.
I did?
Yes. Play the tape. How am I going to know it's a Sandra Bullock movie? What are
because
you
Because I see your box set right here.
How am I going to know that Bill Pullman was in that movie? All right. So anyway, getting back to this trade. So Eric Johnson, an overall number one pick. And you think about that. That's the thing you think about. You don't usually think of Eric Johnson as a great NHL defenseman, although in his defense, he played for the U.S. in the Olympics last year. So Eric Johnson is still very much a defenseman that needs to grow into his own in some way, or else he needs to grow more, or else he will probably be considered a fairly disappointing player for number one overall.
Right.
I mean, we're not talking Patrick Stephon territory here, but we're talking about a guy who, you know, there's been a lot of first round draft picks before and since that have had a better career so far than Eric Johnson. So, but you know, that's a risk that Colorado was willing to take. And apparently Chris Stewart was in some sort of doghouse. He had been scratched before that. I mean, if it were me, I would gladly take Chris Stewart. I would want that guy on my team. And
there's no doubt in my mind that St. Louis got the better end of this deal.
Yeah.
You know, getting a guy like Shattenkirk, who right now is probably outperforming Eric Johnson, although Eric Johnson scored a goal in Colorado's win over St. Louis tonight, so that probably
Stewart had two goals in his first game for St. Louis.
Yeah, you know. I don't think we'll have the end result on this trade yet, because both these teams are going to finish out of the playoffs. Most likely, you know, St. Louis is only 5 points behind the glut of teams that are sort of stationed in the eight spot right now as we're recording. LA, Anaheim, Chicago, Dallas, all tied for the eighth spot with 68 points.
Crazy.
And St. Louis is at 63. It would be a surprise if they were able to inch their way back into it. But getting Stewart and Shattenkirk might be the boost they need to make a run here at the end. I don't know.
I think it's more
for the future.
It should be more for the future. And clearly the other trade that they made, another big trade they made that day, seems to indicate that as well. They traded Eric Brewer, their captain, for a pick who is Brock Bukaboom. And the people who've been watching hockey for a while recognize him as, I believe, the son of Jeff Bukaboom.
That's
Who is a longtime New York Ranger. I certainly remember Jeff Bukaboom.
That's a good return for them, too. They get a prospect, a decent prospect, and they get a third round pick for a guy who they had already decided they're not going to keep him. So,
and he has a large cap hit if they.
So far, so good for
St.
Louis.
That's right.
I think they're pushing all the right buttons in terms of the Colorado game. Yikes. That team looks lost, and they appeared to me to sort of give up at the end, which
wasn't a characteristic of the Colorado we saw last year in the playoffs.
No, certainly not. But they're missing. I mean, there were a lot of guys on the ice that, you know, it's not very often that we turn to each other and go, who is that?
Who's this guy?
You know, so.
And it appears they may be even in the market for trading John Michael Lyles, which I still don't quite understand, but we'll see if that actually comes to fruition.
It's a complete makeover. The Joan Rivers of hockey is about to happen. Here.
Well, Thomas Caberle finally went. He went to the Boston Bruins a first-round pick in a highly rated prospect named Joe Colburn.
Colburn. He's huge.
Like a 6'6" forward. And so that was the big name that everybody sort of expected to go. And all
that's a great deal for really both teams.
I think so.
And
Colburn's going to be good. I think he's going to probably be pretty
Boston
good.
Boston is very well locked and loaded to make a real legitimate run here. It's going to be very interesting.
Yeah.
Eastern Conference.
Well, with the injuries to Pittsburgh and the fact that Washington isn't doing all that great.
Pittsburgh is a non-factor, I think, in the playoffs, really. Even if Sid comes back.
Wow.
I just think.
How can you say that?
Well, if Sid comes back, first of all, are you really going to let him play?
Yes.
You're going to bring him back?
If he's healthy.
Wouldn't you just go, gosh, you know, if he's a little, even if you're even a percentage point unsure if Sidney Crosby is ready to go. I mean, the fact that he's not even around, like he's at home, that's not good.
No, it's not good.
So
I'm not saying it's good.
I'm just saying, you play. No, do you think Sidney Crosby is going to play again this year?
I wouldn't bet that he would. But if he's healthy, I think they would play him. I don't think they would just put him on the shelf.
I'm saying Pittsburgh. This is certainly not their year.
But think about the trade they just made. I mean, this is the biggest, craziest trade.
Yeah,
frankly,
but that trade
happened.
Is not for this year necessarily. That trade is for next year. How good are they going to be with Crosby and James Neal?
Right. So the trade was James Neal and Matt Niskanen for Alex Goligoski, another defenseman that we knew or we thought might be available.
Right.
And I think the general consensus is that Dallas got absolutely hosed on this deal. James Neal is a very good player, and Matt Niskanen isn't a bad player. I looked at his stats. Maybe I pumped him up a little bit too much in my mind, but he's no slouch. He's no Alex Goligoski, but still, I mean, James Neal and a decent young defenseman.
Dallas has slid. They've lost 5 in a row. They are 1-8-1 in their last 10. I think Neuendecker maybe realized that, you know, winning the Pacific Division was certainly not going to happen, and making the playoffs is still potentially in the cards, but they're not going to win the cup.
Mm-hmm.
So where do they go from here, dude? Brad Richards out with maybe a concussion.
That seems to be concussion-like symptoms, which is basically the same thing.
Even if, let's say Richards is healthy, which is not a given, but if he is, do they trade Richards or are they using the money that they've saved by dealing Neal and Niskanen to re-sign Richards?
I don't see how that it was an advantage for them to make this deal in terms of Richards, because Richards is making, frankly, more money than he's worth right now. I think he's making almost $8 million a year, which is really the upper stratosphere for the superstars of the game. And despite as good of a year as Brad Richards has had, he's not, if you were to price him on the open market today, he wouldn't fetch that kind of money, I don't think. So, frankly, their salary hit for Brad Richards is going to go down next year if they retain him, which I don't think is even for certain. Why would he stay there? I wouldn't say that, you know, maybe he loves it in Dallas and he's going to stick, but the fact of the matter is, I mean, they're not built to win the cup this year. They're not going to be built to win the cup next year. Right. And so Brad Richards, while not an old player, I mean, if he wants to go back anywhere, why wouldn't he go back to Tampa?
Right.
Where I'm sure there's still some friends of his left, and certainly Stevie Y has built that team into something that could be easily a contender next year. So I don't know what Dallas was thinking when they made this deal, other than maybe they just hated James Neal so bad that they want to get rid of him, which would just be a stupid thing to do, because they got taken here. They
so
really did.
It's good news for Sharks fans, because Dallas certainly got worse.
That's right. All right, dude, let's go to some emails. I think that covers all the major trades of last week, which is amazing. I would say this is the...
So we have an email and we have a tweet.
Right. Oh, we have a couple emails, actually.
We do?
Yeah.
Dude, if only I could read.
Jason, I think, is taking me to task for a couple weeks ago. I made a statement about the Sharks' overall save percentage in reference to the rest of the league. And Jason sends me a email saying, I remember a couple weeks ago you guys were pondering whether Niemi was an above average goaltender. So Jason ran some stats for us, which of course I always appreciate. Niemi has a $2 million cap hit and is a .938 save percentage since January 1st. Rene has a $3.4 million cap hit, .945. And Tim Thomas has a $5 million cap hit with .922. So he says, discuss. I think at this point, I have to eat some crow over what I said a couple weeks ago, because Niemi has just come up huge. And I guess his slow start really watered down his statistics, and he's really picked it up in the last couple weeks. So, you know,
at the moment, though, that moment in time, mm-hmm. when you said that, I think it was an accurate statement.
Right.
You know, Niemi has been on fire these last couple weeks. Now, if you will,
first star of the week in the NHL last week.
There's no doubt about it. And if he can keep this up,
mm-hmm.
this is exactly the guy that we ran into in the playoffs.
Yeah.
And, you know, I wouldn't say he carried them to a cup win, but he was an important part.
That's right. And I'm sure the Red Wings were shaking their head, similar to the way we were after some of those games against Chicago last year.
Oh, he robbed Johan Franzen near the end of that game. Just robbed him. And we see the butterfly style. I mean, there mm-hmm. it is. Solid down low. Giving up nothing down low, which was a weakness of Nabokov's. And, you know, I don't think Nabokov stops that goal tonight, because he would have been
scrambling a little bit more.
Niemi was very solid, dude. Very solid. So,
Jason,
thanks, Jason.
If he can keep it up, then Niemi is a steal. I mean, I would certainly.
Is he pricing himself out of the Sharks for next year, dude?
I don't think so.
You don't think so?
Well, he had a good year last. He had a good year last year, and he was on the market for a while.
But don't you think some people are going to learn in terms of passing on him twice?
They might. They might, but. Yeah.
Oh, this is a great one. Oh, I love those pictures.
Yeah, okay. So we get an email from Hannah, who has a great email for us. But she sends us a couple pictures, and she says, I'd like to attach two pictures. One is what Yevgeny Nabokov was really doing in Russia, and the second is how happy a new dude's on hockey makes me. And the first picture is of a Russian magazine with Yevgeny Nabokov in a tight shirt, which is pretty amusing. We'll definitely put it on the blog. And the second is of a turtle happily eating a strawberry, which is awesome. But she does have a question. She says, I know that at least half of Dudes on Hockey is a CBA nerd, and I think she's referring to me. She's from a baseball background, she says, and she hears everything about every little injury. And so she says, why isn't it like this in hockey? Is it a CBA thing? Is it so people aren't checking each other into their injuries? Is it protect trade value? Is it an unspoken and no formal rule? I have an answer for this, dude.
I do too.
Okay.
Yeah.
You know what you want to know what the number one, well, this is more of a reason why baseball and football disclose a lot about injuries. You want to know why?
Why?
Gambling.
Ooh.
That's the number one reason. Because if you know inside information about an injury to a player, then you can make a lot of money off that. So at least from the NFL's perspective, it was like in the 40s or 50s, they had a couple of scandals about that.
Right.
And so they started requiring teams to disclose more about injuries.
So since the NHL is basically irrelevant in the gambling world.
Yeah.
And there was an article about this actually in the Hockey News this last week, I believe, where
they
talked about how, you know, you actually, they said, you know, you can actually make a decent, like, return betting on hockey.
Mm-hmm.
There's less risk if you know what you're doing, but they certainly won't take a high enough ceiling of bet. You know, like, they might take a couple $100,000 on a football game, but on a hockey game, they'll take significantly less. It's hard to make a living, dude.
That's right. So really the number one reason why you get all of this disclosure about injuries in those sports is because of gambling. And I think part of the reason, so one reason why the NHL doesn't force teams to disclose it, and it is an NHL rule about what teams have to disclose, part of it is for the gambling aspect. The other part is for what I think you might be saying, which is, and what Hannah said here, is that players would target an injury. Of course they would. And it does protect the players to some extent if you don't have to disclose exactly what's wrong with that person.
I was kind of like going down that path, but actually I was getting more specific in terms of like players who've had like transplants, mm-hmm. like Peter Forsberg's peg leg and Corey Perry having no soul.
Right. So
if you had to declare like Corey Perry is on long-term IR because he has no soul.
Right.
You know, then people would definitely target him differently.
I wonder what would be in that space where his soul should be. Would that be human excrement or dog excrement?
I was more thinking the feces of an armadillo because it's hard and scaly.
Anyway, so that's an interesting question, Hannah, and I think that's the answer. I'm pretty sure if anybody else has any input on that, you can email questions at dudesonhockey.com. Or if
nice,
you have,
dude.
Thank you. Thank you. But that I believe that is the real answer. So
fantastic.
There it is, dude.
We have a tweet.
Oh, cool.
We have a tweet from Sally Balls or Matt Caffeine. I'm not sure which one you want to be called. I'm going off the rails on a crazy trade.
I'm really hoping this is a crazy trade tweet.
It isn't, but it's about to be turned into one, dude.
Okay, good.
His question is, are the Sharks really going to go with Carter Hutton if Ninamaki is out? And they're being very quiet about Ninamaki being unavailable. As I'm speaking, it just sort of crossed my mind is, do you think that the Sharks are using Ninamaki as a pawn here to get his salary off the books so that they can maneuver the roster? I never really thought about it like that. Is it possible that Ninamaki, who we've heard really almost nothing about this injury other than he keeps testing it out and gets worse, that maybe he's not as hurt as it seems and they're just sort of stashing him on LTIR?
I suppose it's possible, but there are specific rules against that. You can't just like say a player's injured.
Well, there he is injured. His groin is sore.
I guess.
Well, let's take them at their word. That's a heck of an accusation. Let's say Ninamaki is unable to perform his goalie duties.
Right.
Are the Sharks going to go into the playoffs with Carter Hutton, or should we expect that Doug Wilson is looking for a veteran backup to take his place?
Wow. It does stretch one's credibility to say that they would want Carter Hutton.
Carter Hutton, completely. This guy, undrafted, unknown, signed to a deal last year, an afterthought.
Mm-hmm.
This guy's an afterthought in the Sharks' goalie depth. He really is.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. He's a warm body.
Wouldn't you think, and this is me just thinking out loud, if Ninamaki was really that hurt that Doug Wilson would have tried to pass Thomas Greiss through waivers?
Yeah, that's a good question. That's an interesting observation.
I mean, don't you think Thomas Greiss would be back?
Well, here's the thing. I think David Pollock made a reference in a blog post a week or so ago that we could wait until the end of the season after Thomas Greiss is done and bring him back. I don't think he has to
end of our season.
Yeah, and the Swedish Elite League, which I believe is where he's at.
Who cares about them?
Right. But maybe we bring him back.
I'm being selfish.
I know.
If we need him, we bring him back, right?
He's on loan. I understand.
But I see what you're saying.
But he may not have to clear waivers if we do it in the playoffs.
Ooh, gosh, really?
I think that's the case.
Interesting.
You ever hear about waiver claims in the playoffs?
No, I guess not. So maybe that is, I guess that's not out of the realm of possibility, Sally Balls.
Yeah.
Or is it Sally's Balls? I can't remember if there was
an extra S in there.
I don't have Twitter up in front of me.
Okay.
I don't know. I guess we have to assume that if it's that bad, that we're going to see Thomas Greiss.
Yeah, I think so.
That, you know, we would see Thomas Greiss. There's really no one out there, dude.
Mm-hmm.
Sharks don't have any cap room anyways.
No, none.
To make any sort of move, they would have to move a player and then have someone come in. I don't really know if we're in that spot. So there's no Brian Boucher to go out and sign.
Although Michael Layton's in the minors.
Michael Layton is signed for another year at $1.55 million.
Yeah,
That's not happening.
We don't want any part of that.
You know, Colorado has John Graham, a guy who's like an NHL veteran on the minimum salary. I mean, that would be a guy that maybe... But I would rather have Thomas Greiss than John Graham.
Yeah, I think so.
So you would think the Sharks would try and bring him back. And maybe that's what would happen. Or is it possible the Sharks are just going to grab Ray Emery when the Ducks try to bring him up? Hey-o!
That would be pretty sweet.
Sneaking Zach.
We'll do it live! F*** market. Do it live.
Ah, you can't put any waiver claims past me.
Oh, man.
So I'm trying not to get too worked up about this, but it certainly would be a surprise if Carter Hutton was backing up Niemi in the playoffs, right, dude?
I'd be really surprised if he ever started a game, to be honest. I mean,
he's got you think there's no shot he starts tomorrow night in Pittsburgh?
Yeah,
no shot.
0.0.
Okay. I'm not gonna take that bet.
Okay, good.
I know we're winding down here, dude. You played the crazy trade theme, so I feel obliged to throw out a few names that are up and around at the trade deadline, dude. You tell me if you think they're going to move. Alish Hemsky.
Well, apparently it was offered to the Kings is what I last read, I think.
What's Dean Lombardi, is he trigger shy?
He might be.
What's wrong with him?
Yeah, I don't know why he wouldn't go get him.
Make the deal. If you're the Kings, do you trade Alish Hemsky and give him Jonathan Bernier?
Wow.
Well, isn't Hemsky signed for like another year or two?
I think so, yeah. Yeah.
Do something.
He's a good player. You're
chicken.
Right.
Chicken. Burk, 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 burk. Play the rooster. Where's the rooster?
Where's the... Oh, is there a rooster somewhere? Oh.
Dude. Brad Richards, we talked about. Brian McCabe. Moving or not?
I think Brian McCabe is going to move.
He wants to stay, reportedly, in Florida, but I think you're right. He is going to move. I'm calling him going to the Rangers because they're so stupid that they're going to trade Michael Delzato back to Florida.
If they trade Michael Delzato, they are the dumbest.
They're so stupid. You know they're going to do something dumb.
Okay.
Okay, speaking of Florida, Thomas Fokoun, does he move to a contender or not?
Wow. If they would be in the driver's seat. If I were Florida, I would trade him and get a ton for him because he's one of the top five goaltenders in the NHL, in my opinion, and I would trade him. But, there's like nothing rumor-wise with Vokoun. I'm going to say no, he's not going to move.
How about some cap filler and one of their young goalies, Washington, get your hands on him.
Yeah. I would
get him.
They would want to make that deal, but it's the same division. I can't see that being – why would Florida want to trade him in division?
Because they could get Varlamov? I mean, what do they have to lose?
Yeah, I guess, but still,
you're
I don't think...
You're going to let him walk for nothing.
But you would never rather have Varlamov than Vokoun at this point. Vokoun's a better goalie.
Yeah, they're not going to keep Vokoun.
All right.
John-Michael Lyles.
Man, there's been a lot of noise about John-Michael Lyles. I still don't understand why they would move him. I'm going to stick with it and say they're not going to move him.
Chris Phillips.
Chris Phillips is going to stay, too. He said he wants to stay for the rebuild, so you got to take him at his word. And, I mean, Brian Murray must be ecstatic that he would actually want to stick.
He gets traded Keith Tkachuk style. He comes back. That's what I think is going to happen.
Good call.
He's going to take one for the team. Dustin Penner.
I think Dustin Penner's got a tough salary to move, so I'm going to say no on Dustin Penner.
Alex Irrelevant Kovalev.
I think he gets traded. I think he moves. I heard somebody say he might go to Pittsburgh and you can put him on like the third line, and if he plays like he doesn't care, which is most of the time, then who cares? He's on the third line, doesn't matter.
I really want him to end up in like L.A. or Anaheim, just because it'd be funny.
It would be pretty
funny. You know what? He's got to go to the Ducks. That's perfect.
Yeah.
Put him there, because then you'll have him and Solani and Koivu kind of skating around.
And Jason Blake.
And being disappointing.
Yeah.
It'll be really, really funny.
That'd be sweet.
Last person, not really at the top of most people's lists, but at the top of ours, potentially, dude, Marty Riesner, a third line player who doesn't get a lot of pub. Let me ask you this.
Not a bad player.
All right. Would you, if you're loading up for a cup run, trade Torrey Mitchell for Marty Riesner?
I would do it.
You'd do it?
I would do it, yeah.
Tell me why.
Because he's a better player than Torrey Mitchell. It's just that simple.
Right.
I think the cap hit's almost the same.
It is.
He's a better player. He's had last 3 years has been better than Torrey Mitchell's the last 3 years. He's a more consistent player. He was a plus player, I think, on Florida last year. I mean, that's a bad team, and he was a plus player. I mean, this is a guy that is not a lot of flash. He's he's like Scott Nickel. He just works hard. But he's one of those guys where I personally have to wonder, since I don't exactly follow Marty Riesner's career super closely, he's always playing. I mean, you would think he would be like one of those sort of bubble players that may or may not find a team. He's always on a team. He right. never like sticks. He never goes to the minors. And there has to be a reason for that. And the reason is because he plays hard and he plays well mm-hmm. and he plays responsibly. So I think I would take Marty Riesner right
It'd
now.
It'd be interesting to see if Doug Wilson has one more rabbit in his hat, mm-hmm. you know? Is he going to pull the trigger on a move like that that might disrupt the chemistry of the team a little bit? Because it sure seems like Torrey Mitchell's a pretty popular guy.
Right.
But for $1.4 million, you know, Torrey Mitchell, you certainly don't notice him doing a lot of great stuff.
No, unfortunately,
not saying he doesn't do some of the little things that helps the team win every night. But Marty Riesner, I think, gives the Sharks a better chance to accomplish their goal. So... a little bit of short-term salary cap, oh, sorry, long-term salary cap relief too. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
Riesner's unrestricted at the end of the year. Torrey Mitchell signed for another year. So interesting potential. I think there's no doubt he's going to get traded, but
just a question of where.
It's just something to keep an eye on, dude.
All right, dude, we got to go to our new segment because we're still going strong on this deal, so let's hit it.
Getting to know you, getting to know all about you.
All right, this is our
I'm so frightened.
Getting to know
it's
you
your
segment.
Turn, huh?
Getting to know your podcaster. Oh, God. So I get to tell a story about Doug this week. I try to keep it to something hockey related, so...
I know. See, but you're going to run out of stuff.
Sooner or later.
There's no... cupcake story.
Well, then I'll just switch to embarrassing stories about you, in which there's okay. a, you know, vast well. So anyway, last fall, Doug was in a musical. Amazingly, yes. And Doug was, one of the leads in this musical.
That's
and
right.
it was set, or Doug knew some people in the musical that allegedly, we have no confirmation of this, knew.
I believe them.
Well, yeah. We have no reason to not believe them. But apparently... one of them knew Douglas Murray, and apparently there was a time, and it was actually the show that I went to when I went and saw you. Apparently, it was rumored that Douglas Murray might actually come and see the show.
I know.
That you were in.
I know. I was very excited.
As it turned out, he didn't show. And after seeing it, I totally agree. I understand. Oh! I'm just kidding.
Dude,
I'm just kidding. It was awesome.
That's horrible.
It was actually great. But he didn't make it, but there is a slight Sharks connection there. With a getting to know your podcaster.
I know. Can you imagine if he had seen me in that show forever? I would have been burned into his brain.
Yeah. It would have been awesome.
For my glorious performance.
Doug was unforgettable there. So. And those of you who saw the show know exactly what I mean. Anyway, I think we're going to have to leave it there, dude.
All right, dude. Yeah. Well, thanks for that story. And I've got a doozy about you next week. We'll be talking about the post trade deadline.
Yeah.
Whether the Sharks are able to rise to the occasion tomorrow night in Pittsburgh or they fall flat, dude. Prediction?
With James Neal, teams always get a little boost after a trade. I think this is going to be a really tough game for the Sharks to win. I'm going to have to say I predict the Sharks will not get a point tomorrow night.
So you're going to go no point, maybe a little bit of a letdown from Detroit. I definitely could see that being true. I hope that they're able to weasel out a point in Pittsburgh. And Calgary is going to be a much better game than I think we thought it was going to be mm-hmm. a few weeks ago.
Yeah,
Calgary has played themselves into a playoff spot. As it sits right now, the Sharks are fourth. They would have a first-round dance against the Minnesota Wild,
wow.
a team that I picked to finish in the playoffs. And Mike, who sucks at prognosticating, did not pick them.
Yeah, this year I've been particularly bad. And that's saying something.
How about Carolina in a playoff spot right now?
Not for long.
The New Jersey Devils are hot on their trail, dude. Do the Devils make the playoffs?
No.
9 points out. No.
No. No.
Wager?
Absolutely. Dude, I'll give you better than even money. I'll give you 3-1.
I'm in.
The Devils.
I'm so in.
Yeah?
Dude, you're going down.
I'm going down. They're 9 points out.
3-1?
Of course.
Oh.
So who's 9 points out in the West? Or 10 points out? Dude, you don't have the standings.
Colorado.
So you think Colorado's going to make the playoffs?
No, they're not even playing in the same like stratosphere.
Dude, the
New
Devils...
Jersey's won 8 in a row. They're 9-0-1 in their last 10. Dude, you are going
to
lose.
They're going to have to go like.
You're going to feel bad.
They're going to have to go 20-3 the
you're
rest
gonna
of the way.
You're going to lose and you're going to feel really bad.
I'm not going to feel bad.
But I drink 3 beers in front of you.
Yeah.
At the same time.
You're going to feel bad after that.
I will.
Okay.
I'll feel sick.
Well, dude, I can't imagine this next few days will be better than the last week of trades, but of course we'll be talking about it all next week. Same time, same place. See you then.
Eric Johnson. Bye-bye.
Think the show sucks? Want to get your questions on the air? Email questions at dudesonhockey.com. Dudes on Hockey is not affiliated with the San Jose Sharks organization or the National Hockey League.